Let's take our Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We are studying Ephesians, chapter 4. The title of our sermon this morning is, "And He Gave Some Evangelists and Pastors and Teachers." Ephesians, chapter 4. Let's read verses 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." In our Lord's resurrection, he has given men gifts, as the Bible teaches there at the end of verse 8, "and gave gifts unto men." Gifts here is in reference to spiritual gifts. Before a person can possess a spiritual gift, they must receive God's gift of eternal life. As it reads there in chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Amen. When a person receives the gift of God, which is eternal life, upon that basis, God in his graciousness, as a mark of victory over sin, death, and hell, through his death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible teaches us that he has given gifts unto all men. The illustration here is given of a victorious army coming back with goods, spoils, as the Bible refers to these goods. And the goods are distributed amongst the people. The victorious army brings back goods, and those goods are distributed amongst the people at the will and wish of the leadership. It wasn't a matter of placing all the goods in the center, so to speak, and making the announcement, "This is our spoils. We conquered the Amorites, and this is what we've brought back. Help yourself." No, that's not how it worked. The leadership had the honor and privilege of distributing those gifts, those goods, those spoils. And this is the background to the Apostle Paul teaching you and I that based upon the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has given to us gifts. In accordance to his will. And that's why we read then verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure or the portion of the gift of Christ." So just like that victorious army would make available and distribute gifts to the people back home, so likewise Jesus Christ, our victor, our triumphant Lord, has given to each one of us that possess the gift of God, which is eternal life. God has given to each one of us at least one main spiritual gift. "And gave gifts unto men." as it reads there in verse number 8. And the focus here in Ephesians chapter 4 is on the gifts of the Spirit given to the New Testament church. In other passages in the New Testament, we have listings of spiritual gifts given to God's people, service gifts there in Romans chapter 12, for example. But the focus here is upon the well-being of the church, the building up of the New Testament church. And these are the spiritual gifts that God has given to the New Testament church. Now, last Sunday morning, we noted two foundational gifts there mentioned in verse 11. He gave some apostles and he gave some prophets. These were foundational gifts. These are no longer needful today because we have the complete canon of Scripture. We do not have apostles today in the biblical sense, and we do not have prophets today as in one that was given direct revelation from God to pass on to others, because we have the full revelation of God right here in the pages of Scripture. So the apostle and the prophet were foundational, as it reads there in chapter 2, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But yet verse 11 goes on to read, and he gave some evangelists, plural, and pastors and teachers, plural. We need to understand and value these gifts that are still present today and are given to the New Testament church for the betterment of the church. Let's note there in verse number 11, the evangelist. Metropolitan Baptist Church has been blessed through its 50-year history from the ministry of the evangelist. We support Brother Chris Hustler that has ministered to us for a good number of years. But almost from the very inception of this church, a wonderful man of God by the name of Glenn Weeks has ministered in this church and has fulfilled with honor the office of an evangelist. And I believe without doubt that our church is better for it. The office of an evangelist entails the spreading of the gospel. Evangelist, a messenger, a bearer of good news. So the office of an evangelist is one that has a gift and has the charge to spread the good news to others. This ministry is an itinerant ministry, as much as we can gather from scriptures. This is why over the years, and almost over the 50 years of the church's history, Brother Glenn Weeks came and ministered in our church. But he not only ministered in this church, he ministered in other churches of like faith. So this gift of the evangelist is an itinerant ministry, and at the heart of this man's ministry is the spreading of the gospel of good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day to offer life eternal to all mankind. We read in the book of Acts of the evangelist, a man by the name of Philip the evangelist. Quickly note with me in Acts chapter 8, and we'll see that he fits the description of this gift. Here in Acts chapter 8, note there in verse number 5, Acts chapter 8, verse number 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Then go down to verse number 12. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now go to verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. That sounds familiar. Which is desert. So we see that the Apostle Paul, that Philip the Evangelist was at one point ministering the gospel in Samaria. And then from Samaria, he made his way down south to Gaza, where God had led him to preach the word of God once again. So he preaches the word of God to an Ethiopian. And note then verse number 35, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 37, And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So this man was saved there. Then go to verse 39 and 40, please. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So have I convinced you? The ministry of the evangelist involves the proclamation of the gospel, and it involves the proclamation of the gospel under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, being prepared to go from place to place. This is the office of an evangelist. Now, the Bible teaches us that we are all to do the work of the evangelist. Though God has gifted some with that gift, they have the spiritual gift of the evangelist. All of us are to do the work of the evangelist, which is at its heart to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. The Apostle Paul encouraged young Timothy as a pastor, do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim the gospel of Christ. So this is an office given to the New Testament church, and the office of the evangelist centers around the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't all have that gift of the evangelist, but we are all called to be an evangelist, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But yet there are some like Brother Glenn Weeks and Brother Chris Hustler that are gifted with that gift, and that is their calling, and therefore they understand that they will be moved from place to place with that charge in mind to be the bearer of good news. The office of the evangelist. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, we note here, He gave some, not only apostles and prophets, foundational gifts in the formation of the New Testament church, but also He gave some evangelists a permanent gift, and some pastors and teachers. Note the wording here, pastors and teachers. That "and" connects the two. It's the one position. Now, there are some that have the gift of teaching. Romans chapter 12 talks about those that have the gift of teaching. Some of you have that gift. It's obvious. But a pastor, a person that has the gift of a pastor, is a pastor teacher. One of the same. Pastor, a pastor is a shepherd. Okay? A pastor is a shepherd. And rightfully it reads, pastors and teachers. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? We all know. Feed. It's the shepherd's responsibility to make sure that his sheep are being fed. The shepherd's responsibility is to provide food for the sheep. Pastors, teachers. Summed up in 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Note then verse 2, in reference to pastors. In the New Testament, we read the word pastor, we read the word bishop, we read the word elder, and when you compare scripture with scripture, it's referring to the same office, the pastor teacher. Note here in verse number 2 it reads, feed the flock of God, which is among you, having the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre's sake, not for monetary gain. But of a ready mind. So as Peter addresses pastors, elders, bishops, there in verse number 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the suffering of Christ, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So here we have the principle of feeding God's people, the Word of God, and shepherding God's people, leading the flock of God, the flock of God with a willing and pure mind. This is the office of a pastor teacher. A pastor can be a good bloke, but if he's not a teacher, not a pastor. One of the same. And this has been a burden to me of late, and in fact, the last couple of years I've had our interns begin each year by reading a book on preaching. At the moment, we're reading another book on preaching. Because it has become more and more apparent to me that a pastor's responsibility is to shepherd the flock and to teach the Word of God. And if that person can't teach his way out of a brown paper bag, as we would say, then they're not called to that ministry. It's as simple as that. So I'm drumming it, which I hope you appreciate. I'm drumming it into your ministry interns in this church. Your role is to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, feed the flock of God. You can be a good bloke. You can be a nice bloke. You can fix cars. You might be able to fix washing machines. But if you can't preach the word of God, then you're not a pastor.
Amen.
Amen. And this is why some churches are dying. Because they have men that are so-called pastors that are not, do not have the gift of the pastor teacher, and they're not feeding the flock of God, the word of God. Pastors, teachers, two-edged sword, double blessing. Oversee, to watch out for your soul, and to feed you the word of God. These gifts are for the benefit of the church. The evangelist, pastors, teachers. We should value those that hold these offices. I think you'd all agree with me, listen to me, we all need leadership. You need to be led. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We are naturally not aligned. Truth. Sheep need to be led. And also sheep need to be fed. And I hope that you come to church wanting to be fed. We can try and feed you. And we can try to ram food down your throat, but you've got to swallow it. Digest it. So I trust that you come to church with an empty plate, asking the Lord, Lord, feed me this morning. And if the pastor's doing his job and you come with an empty plate, God will fill your plate. And then you'll have a plate full of spiritual nourishment that you can take and little by little slice it up into digestible pieces, chew over, swallow, digest. That's the office of a pastor teacher. There are churches today that are struggling because they don't have a pastor. I've lost count. They don't have a man of God that's watching over them. Barraging them. On the phone, where are you? We miss you. They don't have a man of God that's teaching them the word of God. God has blessed Metropolitan Baptist Church. For the past 50 years, this church has always had a pastor. Do you hear me? Not only one pastor, pretty much the whole of that 50 years, this church has had a senior pastor, and this church has either had a youth pastor or an assistant pastor. We have been blessed. And we have been blessed that in the 50 years we have had only two main pastors, senior pastors. I hope you value that. You know what? I feel embarrassed saying this, but I think it needs to be said. Because we have very few pastors, And I can tell you of pastor after pastor after pastor that have quit because they weren't valued. They weren't valued. Value what you've got. You might lose it by next week. God gave the church the evangelist, pastors, teachers. We've had faithful evangelists that have ministered in this church over the years. Thank God for them. I thank God for Pastor Mrs. Matthews. They did the hard yards. You got to see him in the little presentation. Faithful man of God. Not a big bloke. In fact, I think I'm taller than him from memory. But he was a mighty man of God. A man of faith. And what you and I enjoy today is the fruit of a pastor teacher that fulfilled his calling. So I'd like to close our little sermonette this morning by encouraging you to value what you have. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul focuses upon the gifts of the evangelist and pastor teacher. But listen to me, child of God, you might not have that gift. As far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier. But you have a spiritual gift. All of you that know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we should respect and honor one another in light of that fact. And I trust that you know what your predominant gift is. Because if you've received the gift of God, which is eternal life, you have a predominant spiritual gift from God to you in love. You need to know that gift. And you and I need to be responsible. We need to be good stewards of that gift by using it for God's glory. I'm thankful for those that are talented in the area of singing God's praises. But there's a vast difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. We should use our talents for God, but especially you and I having a spiritual gift. God has given that to you because He loves you. It's chosen for you. You didn't pick it out. He gave it to you. It's from God to you. In accordance to His grace. What are you doing with it? You might be saying, Pastor, I've got no idea what my gift is. In fact, I'm not sure what are the gifts. Besides the evangelist, pastor, teacher. Well, before you leave this morning, listen to me carefully. There are two little booklets out there in the foyer, both dealing with the issue of spiritual gifts, describing the gifts, what they are. And there's even a little test, for a better word, a series of questions Because whatever gift is yours, it should be, if you are spirit-filled, it should be a natural inclination. So by answering all these questions, you'll be able to get a bit of an idea of what your gift is. So let me encourage you to work it out and use your gift for God's glory, for the betterment of the New Testament church. There are some official gifts that God's given to the church: the evangelists, pastors, teachers. But you have a spiritual gift. Do you know what it is? If you do, what are you doing with it? How are you using it for God's glory? Because one day God's going to hold you accountable. God's going to hold you accountable. It's like God's going to hold me accountable. God's going to hold you accountable. May God help us to value the gifts that God's given to the church. And may God help us to value one another. That all of us have at least one spiritual gift from God to us. And God will hold us accountable as to how we use those gifts for His glory. Next week, God willing, we'll note the benefits of these gifts to the church. But for now, let's value spiritual gifts. Let's value one another with the gifts that God has given to us. And let's use them for God's glory. Let's bow for prayer.